Hello, and welcome to the next session. In this section, we will cover how to make a 2D game. We're very excited about that. How we can actually use artwork from the Asset Store and create a game in less than 40 minutes.
So, right here is Carl Carthwaite, who is the head of Uni Evangelist. And I'm Tobias Marks, who is the game evangelist at Microsoft. Why don't you tell us about yourself, Carl?
I've been working a long time in the game industry. I'm very excited about that because I used to work on AAA titles, and then later on I went to work on indie titles, and there I found my passion. And from there, actually, I joined Unity to share the knowledge of our community, through our community, for our community, and share the knowledge of our devs to our community too. So very exciting. In the last years, we've seen a tremendous growth on a lot of indie games. And I keep playing them, keep buying a lot of games, thanks to the community.
I'm all about indie games as well. When I graduated college, I started my own game development company making mobile games, and I was able to run that for 4+ years or so until I joined Microsoft as a game evangelist, where I get to talk to game developers like you guys out there and help them out and do cool stuff like that. And I'm based in Mountain View, California. You can find my blog right there if you want to find information. So what are we going to cover today?
Today we're going to cover how to make a 2D game. I can show you actually my screen here. It's a simple game where we place the play button here in Unity, as Adam talked about. And what we see is here, we see the game. We can start the game and then start to play the game. When we pick up objects and jump. And what we're going to do is we have to avoid also some objects here. If I don't can avoid it, I die and I get my points, I can play again. So we're gonna create how to create here a menu, how to create a character, the animations, okay? So I'm gonna open here the scene actually that I have here. This is the scene. Mm-hmm. Let me go to here. So this is the character, okay?
And what this is a 2D scene too, so the settings are all set up for 2D.
So you can see here the button 2D, okay? And I can click on that, and I see now the scene actually in 3D. But I can go to 2D here, okay? And what we're gonna have to do is first we're gonna have to create this environment, okay? Like one of those building blocks. Mm-hmm. I have here a prefab, okay? Another prefab here, and move this around. Like we're gonna create those building blocks, okay? And what we're gonna do is we're gonna have to make an endless runner, see the character running. So we're gonna have to move them, move those objects forward. When my character moves one of the components here, we're going to move that forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What we also have to do is actually create our character here, place it in the scene, and make the different animations for it. And also define when we're going to run, jump, and
transition
fall.
Transition between those animations.
Exactly. And then another, the cool is that the game aspect we're going to create is picking up those objects. Like here we have a fuel can. Mm-hmm. Okay, here you can see, you know, maximize my screen a little bit. So you have the fuel can here. We're going to have to pick up that fuel can, and we're going to get points for that.
And that's actually going to involve some scripting, too.
That we're going to have to create scripting for. Right? The basic will be really focusing the beginning for the artists, like how to bring in the artwork, place it there. And then we're going to have to do the scripting of the character moving, the character picking up, but also playing the audio file, and then avoiding the dangerous part, the... I have here the, let me show you here, the lasers. And where we have lasers, so we're going to have to avoid those objects and jump over. Otherwise, our character, game over, exactly.
All right, sounds great. Where do we start?
We're going to start with the artwork. So what I'm going to do is, I don't want to start with a whole project here finished. I like to start with a total empty project so that you can see everything from begin. So you don't have to, you can start from the beginning. Really scratch empty plate, and we're gonna start with that so you don't have to know something really from the beginning. So what we're gonna do is a new scene, a new project actually, okay? We can give it a name here. We're gonna give it here a 2D game, okay? And we're gonna start with that.
Yeah, remember to make sure the setting's set for 2D.
Oh yes, this is a very good point to point out here. We have here the setting 2D or 3D. The 3D and 2D, it doesn't mean you're going to make a 3D game or a 2D game. We actually, it's all about just make it easy and fast. When you're going to make a 2D game, it's the import settings. Okay. So to show
it, you can change those after you make your project. So if you make it the wrong way, it can be done. But yeah. For the defaults, we want to make sure everything's set to 2D.
Yeah. So what I can do, you're going to put it wrong. And I will show you how you actually, you can
just
change
it. Just to show where those settings are?
Yes, exactly. So we're going to create a project. And we don't have to save this project. Okay. And we're restarting Unity. So we have an empty project. Okay.
And what we see looks like it's 3D at the start because yeah. We did the wrong setting.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I clicked the wrong shortcut here. So what we see is here, it says here 2D, but it's actually a toggle button. Mm-hmm. Very good to point that out. So when you click on the 2D, we see nicely here the screen now in 2D.
And that's just changing the way we're viewing the scene in the editor. It's not actually changing the project settings when we hit that.
Exactly. You can combine 2D and 3D mm-hmm. in one project.
So where do we change the import settings?
Very good. So we can go here to edit, and in the project settings, the editor, this how our editor behaves. Okay. There we can say, instead of a 3D mode, we can say, when we import textures or images, put it to 2D.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I can first show you the differences so that you really can understand what the benefit of that is. Okay, you're gonna go here, and I have here all images that I have for my game ready.
All the ones we just saw in the previous project.
Yeah, all those images will be available on Asset Store, totally for free to use.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm gonna go here maybe to one of my environment objects, and there you can see you're gonna take here one, and I drag and drop that into Unity in the assets folder. That's how we import an object. We see it here. If I want to drag and drop that now in my 2D scene here, it doesn't work.
That's because it's a texture.
Exactly. This is a texture here. I can think of the texture here. So in order to bring a texture into my scene, I have to actually create a 3D object. And I actually like a quad or something, a plane. Okay. To zoom in, I frame on this object here. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to take, that texture and drag it on top of there.
But that's what you would do if you're doing a 3D game.
Exactly.
But for a 2D game, there's a much easier, more optimized way.
Yes. So let me show you the differences. Like, you're going to put it here to a transparent so we see the object here. What we're going to do, we're going to duplicate this object for the moment. And what we're going to say, instead of a texture, we're going to put that to a sprite.
Now, that's, you're changing the actual asset in your assets folder from a texture to a sprite.
Exactly. So this is an asset that we can over and over. It's in our project folder. This is actually our hierarchy. The hierarchy is then what's actually in our scene, in our game, okay, on level based.
What instances are currently in the scene?
Exactly. That's a really good way to put it. So here I'm going to put it to a sprite, okay, and I'm going to press apply. And I'm going to take that object and I drag it in here. It's a bit bigger. We can scale it easily. But it's a huge difference. Okay, and let's look at that. Okay, this is a sprite, and this is done with a mesh render, and this is done with a sprite render. Okay, what a difference is, and I'm going to show you here when we go to our overdraw. Okay, there we see the differences.
So what exactly are we looking at here?
Okay, so overdraw is basically the amount of pixels that are drawn on the screen or on top of each other. Okay, what we see in order to draw this object, we have to actually draw all those pixels here.
Mm-hmm. The two triangles to form a quad 3D object.
But we are putting this all on the GPU to render all those pixels here. Mm-hmm. In this, we're only rendering actually the object itself.
Much more optimized than.
Way more optimized. And this is actually done because this object, when we go here to wireframe, so here we have the wireframe for this. It covers all the area here. So we're rendering actually all this alpha channel here.
Mm-hmm.
And here not. We remove that. We only keep the mesh for that.
And it's all handled for you automatically. You just drag and drop the sprite into the scene, you're good to go.
Nothing to do, just drag and drop, and it all gets optimized for you.
Excellent. And so, if you had done 2D as your default settings when you created the project, all the image files that you drag into your assets folder will automatically be set to sprites.
Exactly. So if I go here now to, I'm gonna delete this all, I don't need this. So I'm gonna go here to my project settings in the editor. And we're going to change that to 2D. Okay? What happens now is when I import.
Can you show us where that menu was again? Just
here.
Emphasize it. It's under Edit.
Edit.
Project settings.
And the editor.
Editor.
So it's how the behavior of our editor. Mm-hmm. That's what we want to change. Okay? And what we're going to do is now we're going to import all that artwork in one shot. So that's really cool. You don't have to drag and drop one in there.
Just grab a whole folder.
I think hold the folder, drag in the asset folder, and nicely they're getting imported, all of them, and automatically converted to a sprite.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very handy.
So let's give it a second here. Okay. And the cool thing is, even when it's a sprite, you can always change it afterwards to a texture. You can duplicate it. You can use for multi-purchases.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there we have all our images now. So look, we have the environments here. So let's start to create an environment for our game here. Okay. And I'm going to take here my environment and drag it in here. Okay. We don't have to have wireframe. I'm just going to see the texture mode. So what we see is here, this is the... This viewport is my scene where I'm going to actually make my game.
Okay.
This is the viewport of my game. That's the final result we see in the game itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to place this object here. Yeah. And let's take here the beginning. Okay. Let's take this object, drag it in here. Okay. And let's take this object here. That's the foreground. Okay. So what we see is the object should be inverted. And it's really cool. You can actually just do... minus one here.
So you're changing the scale and the transform.
Yeah. So instead of in this way, I want to actually in this way. So I do it minus one.
And exactly minus one would be exactly mirrored.
Yeah. But actually, you can do it faster. You can actually select all the objects here in the scene and scale them all. There's no transformation. So we're going to do it here in here, but we can do multi-select here and then put it all to...
In your scene view.
Yeah, minus one, and that's done here now. So, and we can place it nicely, snap it to there, place it there. Okay, take this object, and we're going to place it here nicely. So we have already created that beginning aspect. Okay, mm-hmm. What I start to see is here in the game, it looks incorrect. It's rendering this object in front of there.
Yeah, because the game view is what your camera is seeing. The scene view is just your editing view.
Yeah. So it could be more dramatic if I start to, I'm going to go here to my character and I take one of my characters here. In here. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to put in the scene here. So it's flying on here on top. But here in the game, it doesn't know what's rendering in the front or in the back. So why is that? Well, when I look here at my 2D viewport, everything is actually
flat. All on the same plane.
Yeah. So I could move things forward, but I don't want to do that because everything was designed flat. Mm-hmm. And if I bring things forward, it could be closer or farther. I just want everything nicely flat. So what we can do for that is very simple. I'm going to show you what we're going to do. We can go to... So we're going to keep our character here for the moment. Okay. We can actually, like in Photoshop, create layers.
Mm-hmm.
Edit. Project settings, and here tags and layers. Tags and layers. Yeah. So what we see is here sorting layers. You're gonna open
that. A lot of different kinds of layers in Unity. So we're talking about the sorting layer specifically.
Yeah.
And the sorting layer just deals with sprites, right?
Yeah. It's very good you point that out. The layers is actually, this one is for the scripting part. That we can maybe see later if I have much more time. But I'm pretty sure the team members will cover it over the next 2 days.
We're not gonna worry about it for now.
No. And we have here the sorting layers. Okay, and what we're gonna do, we're gonna add here two layers. We can maybe call it here the level itself. And then here the foreground, that could be our character. Okay, so look here, our character. We're gonna select our character now and say, actually when you render in the layer, mm-hmm. you're gonna render in the foreground. And the other objects, you can multi-select them and say actually in the layer level. So this shows already our character nicely being in the front of this.
So it's going to render all of the sprites that are in the background layer, and then it will render all of the sprites in the foreground layer, which will then mean that the foreground layer is drawn last, and thus it's on top of everything.
Correct. So you can, when we go back here to our tags and layers, what we see is here the foreground layer is layer 2, is rendered on top of the layer level.
And you can drag those around, too, if you have a bunch of layers and you wanted to sort them more specifically.
This is actually something I want to point out. By default, if you create something, it will be created in the default layer. So I don't want that. Because in the default layer, it will show it always in the background.
Behind the level.
Yes, exactly. So what I'm going to do, it's just going to drag and drop it in the foreground. So when we import something new, it will always put in the foreground so we can see it. We don't have to worry where it is, the object.
Mm-hmm.
No. When we look at this object, maybe, this object should be in front of our character. So we can create another layer, foreground. So we're gonna go to our, editor. I'm sorry, to the tags and layers. I'm gonna go to the correct menu, open this, and let's rename this character here.
So we're gonna have four layers this time. We'll have level, character, and default, and now
foreground. Yeah. So I'm doing gonna put my character in the layer character here. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then this one in the foreground.
So that way the foreground is in front of the character.
Yeah. So now look nicely, my character will come when it comes in the scene.
It's in between.
In between, exactly. There's one problem we have though. Look, I'm gonna show you here. I'm gonna take one of the other environment objects. Let's say this object, we're gonna drag it in here. We also do -1. Okay, and I place it here. Okay.
And it's by default on the default layer, which is above the character layer. Yeah.
So what we're gonna do is just put it in the level one. Okay, but what now is when we put it over there, sometimes we don't know if it should be nice in front a little bit or in the background. And especially here with this object also, this is sometimes, you see now it's rendering in the back, it's rendering in the front. I want to specify that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but what I don't want to do is create like tons of layers like level one, level two, level four. It will be too much to manage that.
Yeah, that'd be a crazy amount of layers.
So it's really simple in Unity what they did. A very smart trick here, look here. If I select this object here, okay, what we have here is in the sorting layer, set to zero. So in the layer itself, we can sort it again. So it's set to zero. If I'm gonna take this one and I'm gonna say, well, I'm gonna put it to one up. Press enter.
Is it just an integer value?
Yeah, it's integer value, yes.
Whole numbers.
Yeah, so now look, it nicely renders always on top of that.
So it always renders ones on top of zeros.
Yeah. So the higher the number, the closer to the camera basically rendered, but it will stay in that layer. So this foreground layer will always render on top of that. So in that way, we can easily create here nice structured levels, and let's add a little bit more elements to it. We're gonna go here to our environment, and let's say, look, I'm gonna take another object here, maybe this one again. Okay, I'm gonna scale it -1. Oh, I'm doing everything. Let's select this one, -1. Okay, nice, we're gonna place it here. Okay. And one of the artists we used, Curtis, gonna drag and drop this object in here. Or I think this object, so we can do a little bit differences in there. Place this, gonna delete this one. Select this one. And we're gonna place it there. And nicely we can start
cover up that window.
Yeah. So now what we're gonna do, we're gonna select multiple objects here. So we're gonna select this one and this one and this one.
Make sure they're all in the level sorting layer.
Yeah, that's really good. So what we do here, we're gonna put it to level and take this object and put it one up again also. So nicely, it's always on top of rendering there.
Mm-hmm. So it's always gonna be on top of things that are rendered at zero.
Yeah. So what we're gonna do this, duplicate, you can now multi-select also in Unity and duplicate that and place it here.
Look at that, we extend the corridor very easily.
Yeah, and I'm gonna place it here. And that's how we start to create our level here. Simple, okay. And always save, I'm gonna save my scene, and I'm gonna call it to...
Yes, always good to remember to save.
Yeah, software has never crashed.
Yeah. Okay.
So we have here our level now created. What I'm gonna do, I'm gonna create like one little button so I can select all the objects in one shot, so I don't have to multi-select it always.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna create here an empty object. Okay, place it here.
This is a brand new game object that appears in the hierarchy.
Yeah, so it's an empty object. It just has a transform on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What we're gonna do, we're gonna select all those objects from the environment and drag it just like a Windows Explorer in that object. So it's when I select this object, I can select it and all.
So when you move the parent game object, it moves all of the children
and
thus keeps the level piece together.
Well, the problem is that I don't see that object. It's hard to find it in the scene if I want to select it. So we're going to create a simple button for that. And how you do that is here. There's, you have this cube here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When I click on that cube, I can create a button for it. Let's say here a blue button. And now we can call it.
Now, is that going to appear in my game, that blue button?
That's a very good question. No, that's the real beauty. And so it appears here. And when I move that object, you will never see it in the game itself. You can make it visible by activating the gizmos here.
So just for debugging purposes.
Debugging, yeah, exactly. So now we're going to place it here. Okay, my camera. Okay, you can place it here in the beginning a little bit. We can change that to ortho. So right now it's perspective. Mm-hmm. We can put it to ortho. And then we can change the size.
So perspective camera is you're seeing from a three-dimensional point of view. So objects that are farther away will seem farther away than objects that are closer to the camera, whereas orthographic kind of removes that entire z-axis and smashes everything down flat.
Yeah, and because we are making a 2D game, we really want everything flat, because in Photoshop our artist designed it and totally flat. So what we want to do is we want to keep that flatness there. Okay, so that's why I changed my camera. You can nicely see that here. When I go to a 3D viewport, this is the camera in 2D. If I change the camera to perspective, it's like an, you see the, it's there's perspective eye here. Yeah. Put it back to ortho, and there we have it. Okay, I'm gonna go back to 2D. And there we have nicely our level already created with our the beginning of our character. Okay, and I don't need my character for the moment. We're gonna delete that. Okay. So, this is the beginning of our level. Let's put the props in there that we might be able to pick up. So I have somewhere a fuel can here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and let me go here to, I have here a fuel can here. Okay, but what I see right away, and I'm gonna delete this for the moment because I don't need those objects here. Okay. Okay, this is really interesting now. What we see is the artist create a sequence of images. And when I play them fast, actually, I get the impression
that it's spinning.
Spinning. If I take one image in there and I place it here and I'm gonna press play, nothing will happen.
It's just a single frame of that animation.
Yeah. So what we wanna do is we wanna rotate that. Hey, we wanna have that same animation, we wanna have that sequence of images.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we do that? This is fantastic done. It's mind blowing, I find. You select the first one and you select the last one. And you drag and drop all those images in one shot here. And now it's just, is that an animation? Is actually a sequence of playing those images. Yeah, I can say fuel can rotation.
So it automatically generates an animation, which is why it's prompting you to save.
Yeah. So maybe I can make it a little bit bigger so we can basically better see it on the screen. Okay. And when I press no play, what we see is this object is nicely.
Now it's spinning with all the images.
Yeah. How can I see that? Look here, I can select that object. And I can go to the Windows animation here, window, animation, and get the window here. And I can now scrub in the timeline here. So we see nicely the animation. When I open this here.
Each of those little diamonds represent one frame of the animation.
Yeah, this is actually called a keyframe, and each of those keyframes represents one of those images. And here we have the sample rate, the speed. I can change that if I wanna rotate faster, I can put it to 24. So when I press play, it runs much faster. So pretty cool to have this already.
Very handy.
Yeah. Okay, so we have one of the collectible objects in place there. Let's put the laser tags in there. Okay, let's go to the obstacles. And we should have somewhere here the laser. Okay, I'm gonna delete those objects. Later on, we're gonna come to that, what it all means. So we're gonna select again. It's here, we get 1, 2, 3, 4 images. I select them all, drag and drop it into my scene. Okay, and I'm gonna call it my laser. Okay, and there it is. I can maybe place it here. We can also scale it -1. Okay, let's frame to that object so we have it there. We can put the laser there. What we're gonna do, we're gonna duplicate it. Bring it down.
So now we have two laser objects.
Yeah. So we don't. We cannot sneak under it. Okay.
And you put the second laser object as a child of the first one, so that when you move the first one, they move together.
Yeah, so I don't have to multi-select, or I don't have to separate select and move them around. I can do it in one shot, okay? So when I press play now, what we're gonna see is we see the lasers here, and we see the collectible object here.
Okay? Awesome, we already got some animation in the game.
Exactly, it's really easy and fun. So this is our first part. What we wanna do is now I actually duplicate that.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we can select here the environment, and I don't need the two first objects here, the intro. So this is the object I want to duplicate over time in my scene. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make those two objects, those the collectible, the fuel can, a child of that level, and the laser too.
So there's always going to be a fuel can and lasers in every segment of this level we're generating on the fly.
And what we're going to do is on the fly then say, when we enter one of those prefabs here, activate or deactivate the can. Mm-hmm. Or activate the laser. So we always have, it's always different. It's never the same. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have this game object here, and save this. And what we're going to do is we're going to call that like maybe a prefab one or something. Prefab one. And we can now duplicate this. Okay. And I call it prefab two. Okay. And I can move it to here. So now I have two objects and I can pull them, so I can later on move one of the objects. But let's first with the, start with the character here. Okay. So quick, I'm going to go to my character here and I'm going to make my first animation just like I did with my fuel can. I can go here to the render animation. Okay. And
you're going to select all of the images as part of the run.
Yeah. So we have here run 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 13. I'm going to select them. First and last one. Mm-hmm. We're going to drag and drop it into our scene here. Okay. And again, it's going to ask for an animation. And I'm going to call it run. Okay. And I'm going to go here to my render character. And what we see here, it creates a file run and an animator. Okay, I'm going to quickly explain what it actually is. Okay. So when I press play, what we see is here, we see the animation playing. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the animation that has created a file run, and it plays those animation file. And it plays those sequence of images. With my character selected here, I'm gonna go here. What we see is, here we see the animator. The animator defines which animation will be playing at what time. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when I select that animator, and I go to the animator, here now we nicely see it. And it's playing the run animation. It's visual stating which animation is playing. Mm-hmm. When I double click on that, we see the animation here run in it. Click here, run.
It's all automatically generated for us when we drag the run in.
Yeah, nothing to do. So it's super easy. And orange means means that is the default animation that we'll be playing when we start the
game. That's when it will start first.
Yeah. So look here now when I press play, I see my character running. Okay. But it's not moving forward. There's no physics applied to that.
No, it's simply just animated in a way.
So let's start with that. What we're going to do is select our character here, okay? I can rename this here. I'm going to call it character. Okay, it's easy to find that in my game. And what I want to do is I want to add some gravity to it, because later on I want to jump and mm-hmm. add some force up to it, and then we're going to land down.
So are we going to have to code our own physics engine now?
No.
Oh, Unity makes that easy?
That Unity makes it easy. There's a Box2D fully included for it, and just apply to it, and that's it. This we made it easy.
Awesome.
So look here, how we do that actually. Let me show you here. Okay, we have our character. We're going to add a component. We go to physics. Uh-oh, we have to watch out here. We have physics and physics 2D. Okay, physics 2D is when you're really going to make for 2D games, and physics is the physics for more 3D games. Of course, you can combine that in games. We're going to use here the 2D physics, and I'm going to add a rigid body 2D. Mm-hmm. Just like gravity. So look, when I look at my game here and I press play now, what's going to happen is our character falls down forever. Okay, I can show you that here. It's really fun. Okay, when I zoom out here, press play, our character falls down.
Because he has gravity, but there's nothing for him to hit yet because nothing else has any gravity or physics.
Yes. So what we're going to do is look here, our character, or here, we can select our level here. You know, delete the other prefab, I don't need it actually yet. So what we can do, we're going to add here a little physics to it. So add physics 2D. We don't have to add gravity. The object will stand still. We're going to add a collider to it. Mm-hmm. So look here, I can do here an edge collider. Okay. Or I should add actually something that I can see because it's a little dot actually. So I can actually physics 2D, let's add here a box collider to it. Mm-hmm. But it's just... It's very small here. You see it's here because it's...
It's around the game object, the empty one that we made. Yeah.
So what we can do is hold on shift, or we can here the size here, move it bigger.
Scale it up in its X and Y.
Yeah, so we can then nicely make it the size, okay, like this. And let's put the center a little bit down, so we're gonna place it nicely here. Mm-hmm. So we see it's here on the floor, so when I press play, our character falls down, but it doesn't hit it with it. Why is that? Our character needs also a collider. It's not just the floor, both have to collide against each other.
Yes, physics, but he's not colliding with anything, because he doesn't have the code for collision.
Yeah. So we're gonna select here my character, I'm gonna add a component, physics 2D, and I'm gonna add a box collider to it. Mm-hmm. Let's make it a bit smaller. So the size, we're gonna make it smaller here, and the Y too.
So making the collision box around the character a bit tighter.
Yeah. So look, now when I press play, what we're gonna see is the character nicely falls down and hits the floor.
Excellent.
Okay, super simple.
That's exactly what we wanted.
Yeah. The next step what we wanna do is actually move that character forward. Okay, how are we gonna do that? Also, we're gonna do that actually through a script. Okay, look here. You're gonna have to import some scripts. You can create a script, it's really simple by here, create Java or C Sharp. Mm-hmm. This class will be mainly using C Sharp. I will use one JavaScript to show the possibility of that.
Okay. It's also worth noting that you can mix and match. You can have some objects with JavaScripts and some objects with C# scripts.
You can mix and match, but they cannot communicate with each other. Yeah.
They'd be black boxes to each other.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to take here some scripts, and I'm going to drag and drop hold the folder in there, so I don't have to one by one import each script.
Yeah. Same way we imported the assets earlier, just drag and drop.
Makes it...
It's pretty easy to do.
Okay, just to make sure. Okay, so what we're gonna do is here, take the script character final we can actually use. Okay, and what we're gonna do, we're gonna take that script and open this here, and open here with Mono. Okay, you can also do it with C#, okay?
In Visual Studio.
Yeah.
It's a C# script, but you can open either one.
Okay, and... Okay, let me maybe explain it here. Okay, and close the window for the moment.
Wow, it's taking a bit to load.
Yeah.
So this is a script you wrote ahead of time.
Yeah, this is a script I wrote ahead of time. Okay, just let's take a bit time here.
So tell us what the script's supposed to be doing.
The script is the character is moving forward, basically. It's just physics that we're going to apply in the Y and the X axis, so the character can actually move forward.
Applying a vertical force, a force going in the horizontal, I should say.
Yeah.
In the X.
Yeah, so I'm just going to try to work on it here for a second. Okay. And...
get that script open.
Yeah.
And a script is just a component that you can add to any object, just like we add the animator component or the box 2D physics component. You just attach it to an object. And so you can attach multiple scripts if you want as well.
Yeah. So look here, I'm going to explain the script from here. What we're going to do is basically, the first thing is on collision, enter 2D. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take that script and I'm going to apply it to our character.
And that's a function that's going to be triggered when a collision happens. It's built into Unity. It will trigger that function when the box 2D colliders.
So what we can do, the moment it hits the ground, I'm going to say it's grounded. Because
that's just the boolean that you're setting.
Yeah, because later on, what I want to do is here. This is really interesting. We use here a function update. Mm-hmm. A function update runs every frame. Okay, and we have a function fixed update here. Why the differences? A function update runs every frame. Fixed update runs a certain interval that we can set, and that's where we're going to use our runs our physics in, because it's really more computing, and that's why we're going to do it on a fixed update. Mm-hmm. Function update, okay, is here when I press the fire button, and that's now becomes really interesting, because this is something that works multi-platform, cross-platform. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to put that now on my Windows phone, when I touch the screen,
it's going to trigger the Fire 1 event.
Fire 1 event. If I do it on my Xbox One, it's exactly the same. My Fire 1 button will trigger this. Okay, so it makes it super easy.
So that's an internal Unity command, Fire 1, as a label for your input.
Yeah. So, and this here, you can find it here. You can go to Edit, and you can go to your Input Settings. Okay, and here you can say Fire 1 is actually my left control. Mm-hmm. Okay, but Fire 1 I have it declared also here as my joystick button 0. the same as my when I'm on Windows Phone when I touch the screen. Mm. So you can add there your own inputs too.
So this automatically will do a touch input then on touch devices.
Correct.
Excellent.
Super easy. So for multi-platform, when I make an Xbox One game, mm-hmm. and
that's great that you don't have to have all these if statements of if I this control on that platform, this control on that platform. You can kind of have these tags that will work cross platforms. So you don't have to code once.
Yeah. So again, here on the collision enter 2D, what we say here, ground is equal true. Actually, first is I want to be sure when my character that I only jump when my character's on the ground. And here's what I do when I press the fire button, and if I'm on the ground. Okay, then I can jump. Otherwise, I cannot jump. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the fixed update, when jump is true, what we here say is jump is true, we will add a force to it. Okay, a jump force. Now, I didn't say like 10 meters or 50 meters, right? Or yards. I declared outside here.
As a public variable.
As a public variable, 10. Okay, what's the benefit of that? I'm going to show you here. I'm going to take that script. And I can drag and drop it on my character. Okay? That script is now applied to here, and I see a jump force of 10.
So automatically, it says it uses all of the public variables, and it shows it to you in the editor so that you can tweak it. So having that jump force of 10, you're like, well, I want to jump a little bit higher. I can set it to 15 in the editor. I don't have to actually go into the code and tweak it.
Yeah. This is one of the, I think, the strengths of Unity. The artist and the programmers and designers can all work together, mm-hmm. Thanks to exposed variables. Such as you can see here on our screen, here we have the jump force. Now I can actually nicely slide this. Okay. And I can then tweak that. So press play. And we're going to click here. And we're going to jump. And we see our character is jumping pretty high, so we can maybe put it to 8. Right. Press play, okay, and then jump. And I think jump enough, high enough. So I'm gonna put my character a little bit lower, right, so it doesn't fall down in the beginning. Press play, the game start. My character is running. Click, and I jump.
Awesome.
Okay, so I'm gonna put my character here nicely behind the screens, okay, and we're gonna put that in the layer character. So that we can our character nicely will come.
As we did before.
Yeah. So in the game, press play. And there we have already the character running and jumping over the objects.
Awesome.
Super simple. But what we want to do is also, we want to have the correct animation playing, the jump animation. Mm-hmm. So let's go to the character here. And we go to the animator here and we have the run. We want to add a jump animation to it. Okay. So I can go to my scene here and I can go to my art essence for my character here and select all my images of jumping and drag and drop them in just as done before.
Okay. Now, do we want a second jumping character in the scene?
We're going to delete that actually.
Yeah, so we just want the one object, but the easiest way to make an animation is to simply just drag the images into the hierarchy because it'll automatically give you that prompt, you save the animation file, and then you're done. And you can just remove that extra jump character you created.
Yeah, so look here, I can show you again. And drag it in here. I can call a jump. You're gonna overwrite this, the one we had done. And this image now, look, if I press play, of course, we're gonna see the jump animation here on this object. Okay. Press play. But we don't need it. We only need that animation file. That is actually nicely created here.
Already saved in our folder, right?
Yeah.
Press access.
So, look, you're gonna delete this now. Delete, yeah.
And deleting the character from the scene does not delete the jump animation asset that's what we just created.
Yeah, look here. Here you can nicely see the jump animation file is still there. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what we're gonna do, I'm gonna go here to my character again, go to the animator. What I'm gonna do, I'm gonna steal actually, take that animation file, that jump one, and drag it in here.
Awesome, now we have two animations on the character. Yeah.
And this is really cool now. Look, if I wanna go from run to jump, the only thing I have to do is look here. Make a transition from the run animation to the jump animation. Make an animation transition from the jump animation to the run animation.
You get that menu just by right-clicking the boxes.
Yeah, just right-clicking the box and make a transition. So awesome. Look, I'm gonna select here my character and I'm gonna go here to my scene. And what we're gonna see is that automatically I'm gonna play one. Let me just make the screen here a little bit bigger so we can see. Okay, yeah, and then we're gonna put this to the animator and select my characters. Press play, what we're gonna see is we're gonna see the run animation, automatically goes to the jump animation.
So he's running, then he jumps, and then he runs, and then he jumps, and it transitions back between the two, automatically.
So, but what I want to do is I don't want that automatically plays run, automatically jumps. I only want that it plays jump when I click the jump button, basically.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So look, we can say here, okay, well, we're going to trigger something.
So we have that parameter setting in the bottom corner there.
Yeah. And I'm going to say here jump. Okay.
And we're making a trigger type.
Yeah. And that's actually a very good question. If you say, well, what's actually a trigger or a Boolean? Okay. If you do a Boolean and you say to this is true, then you have to write in code later on the act A, not false. Mm-hmm. If you do a trigger, it will automatically just do the opposite. It will one time true and automatically back to false.
So it's similar to a Boolean. You handle it like a Boolean.
Yeah.
But you just have to set it true once. And as soon as it does that animation, as soon as it triggers it, it automatically sets it back to false again. Yeah.
So what we see is here, the run to jump, okay? Here, we're gonna say, well, that only will happen when jump is true. When will I go from jump to run? On exit time, because that means like play the animation jump and automatically goes back to run.
So no matter what, we do the full animation for the jump and then we just go back to running.
Yeah. But when I press play and I press jump, okay, just by accident, it worked. Oh, no, it works. It works.
The script already had the code
for
that.
Yes, the code has already added to it. So when I press play here, look here, click, and I jump, play animation, and goes down. Okay, how does that work? We're going to just look at the script here quickly. So we have the script attached to it here.
The cooking show magic of the script already being finalized.
It's really simple. What you only have to do is here. Set a trigger, jump.
So anim.setTrigger, jump.
So what's the anim part here? Here on... Before my game starts, I actually go to the component animator. Mm-hmm. So it goes here to, and here in my character.
So that's just a local variable to that object that references the animator component.
Correct. So it goes to the animator component, here the controller. Okay, opens this controller and goes to this parameter and activates this one time to true. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're going to go from run to jump.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
So what we're going to do is, now look here, I'm going to take the camera. And I could make the camera a child of my character. Okay, press play. And then my character is jumping, oops.
So now the camera's moving just because we made it a child of the character. Because that way the XY position is relative to the parent object, just like everything else. So as the character's moving, the camera's gonna move in proportion to that.
Yeah, but I made it a little bit more interesting here. What I wanna do is with my camera, I only want to happen when my character comes here in the screen, like comes in, runs, and then starting from here, my camera will follow. Okay? Mm-hmm. So what we're gonna do, we're gonna take here, like set here, and I'm gonna create an empty game object. Okay? Place it here, I'm gonna say starting from here. So I'm gonna make that object a child of my character. And what I'm gonna do, we're gonna say reset position. So it's perfectly matches there with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay? So it's in the exact same position as the character.
Yeah. I'm gonna take my camera and make a child of that, okay? So then I can set, when the moment my character is the same value as that object or higher, then follow the...
So you move those around. So you have, at the top hierarchy, you have the character and the game object that you set to be the exact same X, Y, Z position of the character.
Yeah.
And then a child of the empty game object is the camera.
Yeah. So, what we're gonna do, I have a little script here, okay? And camera follow, okay? And I'm gonna take that script, and you see, okay, here we can see if the camera position, if the character's position is more than 10, okay, we're gonna then follow. So we're gonna do, drag and drop that on my script. I'm gonna drag and drop that on my game object here. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's my character? This is my character here, okay?
So that character is just a variable that you have in that script, which we see in the code.
Yes, so the character will run here, but of course the camera starts to follow at a certain point here, okay? We could start to tweak the script that it actually follows exactly that point here in the script here. So, so we could start to change those variables and expose them. But I know we're under a little bit 5-minute time constraint here. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is just going to focus on the pooling to make it an endless runner, the game. Okay. Mm-hmm. So later on, we can then come back to this and work more with that, or make an extended movie file for our community on it, everything. So we're going to take the camera and just make it a child of the character.
Just for now, just to move along with the lesson.
Yeah. So what we want to do is we want to start to pool this. We want to make this an endless render game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how can I do that? Okay. You're going to take this object, okay, and I put it as zero. And take another one.
That's the one that we named prefab earlier.
Yeah.
But we didn't actually make it a prefab yet.
Exactly. It's not a prefab. Okay. For this case, we don't need to make it actually a prefab. I'm pretty sure that Adam and Matt will cover that really in depth. So what we're going to do is here, we're going to take this object and we're going to duplicate it and we're going to call it one. Okay. And I move this object and I place it here. Okay. Okay, place it nicely there.
Make sure it's all lined up.
Yeah, we can use snapping. I'm going to duplicate this, and I'm going to call it two. Okay.
So now we have three different versions.
Yeah. And why is that? Okay. And I'm going to move it up to here. Okay. What we're going to do is, when my character runs here over the screen, character starts to run in the first level. Okay. Mm-hmm. The first prefab here. Then when it hits here, I'm going to make here a trigger. When it hits that trigger, I'm going to move that object to there. Then this object will be here. Then I can say the moment I hit, I'm going to put a trigger here. Mm-hmm. Like an object that when I hit it, I will move this object 6 units forward or 10 units forward. Okay. Why I put that object here? I could put it here. So I'm going to move them each time this length forward, okay? Because then I have to put this object behind it, and I just want to make it super fast for myself, mm-hmm. that I don't have to put objects behind or in the front, just move things forward.
Just make it clear.
Yeah. So I'm going to go back here to my menu, okay? And what I'm going to do, I'm going to make a trigger in this prefab here. And this prefab 2, I'm going to delete it for the moment because I'm going to make exactly the same prefab for it. So I'm going to create here, and let's say we can do a 3D object, a cube. Okay, place it here and scale this object. Okay, so that could be my trigger. That's the object I have to hit, and I'm going to say move this object forward. Okay, so I'm going to call it trigger. Okay, and I take that trigger object and I'm going to make it a child of my prefab. Mm-hmm. So when I move that prefab, that trigger moves with it. Take that trigger here. Okay, and now we're going to take here a script. I have somewhere a script called pooling here.
You could just make this an empty game object and add a physics 2D collider on it.
Yeah, exactly. So in the script here, I'm going to say on 3D, on trigger enter 2D. When that object enters that object, you're going to have to do something then. We're going to do this. Okay. So we're going to take that script and I'm going to put it on the trigger. Okay. Now that script here, let's go back. Pooling. Okay. So first thing we're going to do here, we're going to declare an object, a game object, outside. So in any object in my scene. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to move it 72 units forward. I can later on tweak that. Okay.
So you're just changing the X position of the previous prefab.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is this trigger, okay? I will take this object, but I want to skip this object because I have here nicely the entrances and everything. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do, we're going to take this prefab and I'm going to duplicate it and place it here.
Trigger and all.
Yeah. And that trigger, what will I move forward? This.
You're going to rename that prefab to prefab 02.
Yeah, it's just going to better make it clear for me.
Make it more clear in the
script. Yeah, this one too. Yeah, and this one will be one. Okay, yes. Yeah. So I'm going to select here my trigger, and what will I move forward? This object.
Mm-hmm.
So the trigger.
For the trigger for two will want prefab one, and vice versa.
So I'm going to drag and drop it in here. Okay. And then I had something here from the fuel can and the laser. Let's look at that. I'm going to go here to my pooling script, okay? What I'm going to do is randomly, I will activate the fuel can or the laser.
sending them the true or false.
Yeah.
So they're always going to be in the level, but they may not be active in that copy of the level.
Exactly. So here, you can take here my trigger. Okay, and what I'm going to do, the fuel can, the laser here, I'm going to put it here. And
you're just dragging and dropping to match.
Yeah. The fuel can, and the object will be this one. Okay, and then here in my trigger, this one is just the opposite. It's the fuel can from here, and the laser from the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now my character, when I press play, okay, what we're going to see is we're going to run, and we start to tumble here. Okay, why is that? Because this has to be, object has to be a trigger. And right now,
you're just colliding with it.
Yeah. So I'm going to select them both, and I'm going to both set them to, I'm going to select them here, and say this is a trigger.
Mm-hmm. You need to set a box 2D trigger too, or a 2D.
Yes, yes, exactly. So we're going to remove this component, and we're going to say here, this is actually add a component, physics 2D.
Just for fun, you made it a 3D object, but it still needs a 2D collider on the 3D object to actually collide with the other 2D.
Yeah, because we use the function on enter 2D, mm-hmm. and our character has the 2D collider on it. So as a trigger here, and this trigger...
So that's just a checkbox under the box collider for
yeah.
is trigger?
Correct.
Now, what's the difference between a trigger and a normal collider?
Okay, when it's a normal collider, it will collide and hit it against it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a trigger...
It's like our floor, it will stop.
Yeah. The trigger basically will just go through it, but trigger is supposed to say, okay, you can on trigger enter and evoke the scripts.
So doing some code, but not actually stopping the physics object anyway.
So I'm going to add a 2D box collider to here and also a trigger. Okay. So press play. And what we're going to see is here, we're going to keep running now. And okay, there is something there.
I think it's tripping you up when you go from one to
yes.
the other.
Yes. So what we're going to do is select our character here. And a very simple trick is here, fixed angle.
Set that to true. Fixed angle to true.
Yeah. So that cannot roll our character. So press play. Okay. Jump here a little bit, and when you go here, we're going to hit the trigger here. And now we see is here the object moved to there, but exactly the same. It moves this distance forward.
Mm-hmm.
So in script, you should change it maybe to way more. So we're just going to check here in script here. This trigger, pooling script. So we have the script here. And we should then basically change those values here, the 72, to move much...
Start one ahead of time.
Yeah, we should multiply by two.
You pre-bake the script to go to that position of that first one.
Oh, it's just it takes this object.
Yeah.
Okay. And it moves it 72 units forward, basically. Mm. Okay. So, okay, just going to check here. This trigger will do this prefab 2. If you can that, and it has to move it. If I have this prefab, okay, this prefab 2. So right now it's in 56, and it should go to. So it should be about 50 units forward, I think. Okay, I'll just check here. Click here. We hit this. Oh, jump here. We hit the prefab. Okay. Yes, and what happens is our prefab 2 went way too far.
It went a little bit too far.
Way too far. So we should...
But this is something that you could tweak as part of your code later on and make it sure it lines up exactly, and you would measure how big each segment's going to be. And you can even set that as a variable in your code that you can adjust in the editor, just like the other ones, to make it exactly right.
Yeah. So I think we only have 2 minutes left, or...?
I think we're at 2 minutes over, so...
Okay,
We might have to cut short here.
Yeah, what we're going to do, let's open the project here, and let's go quickly in depth over there. Okay.
So you're just showing the final version, what it would look like after you, tweak the scripts, make it all lined up exactly. And also, one thing we didn't get to cover was adding the scripts to the pickup objects itself, like the laser and the can, that when you hit it, it'll add points or restart the game.
So what you see is here the character now will put the colliders invisible,
mm-hmm.
and then it moves this object to there when I hit the collider.
And it's lined up exactly right, so it looks seamless to the player. Yeah.
And then how we do the pickup object, it's really simple. Let me go here to the pickup objects, like I'm going to say here the fuel can. Okay, We add a simple script here. No, we add it actually to the character. Okay. To our character here, and we have a script here, pick up. Okay. And it's a really simple script. Okay. Where on trigger enter, if it's a can.
It checks the object that I'm colliding with a can.
Yeah. And then we set it to deactivate, so we don't see it anymore. Mm-hmm. Give ourselves a point. And then we actually send this also to our text here, so that we can see how many values there. This is the canvas. In the 4.6, we have our new GUI system. Definitely check out the blogs afterwards at Unity. We will record this tutorial more in depth with everything. Mm-hmm. And there you can see then this value here. I sent the value to those text to show it there. Mm-hmm. And we also have here a menu mate that when I press play, that it comes in, animated. And then you can click play again to play the game again. Okay.
Awesome.
Everything of this project will be tomorrow available on our Asset Store. Check it under the 10 Planet 2D Art. The level, the scenes, and the scripts will be all available for
great.
The community.
So you can mess with it yourself, make your own Endless Runner game.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Hopefully you guys learned something. And stick around for the next session. We'll take a quick 10-minute break.